Appendix C. Ellen White died Friday, July 16, 1915. Three funeral services followed. On Sunday afternoon, July 18, a funeral service was conducted on the lawn at her Elmshaven home. The next day, a funeral was conducted at the Richmond Camp Meeting. On Sabbath, July 24, the third and largest funeral service was held at Battle Creek, Michigan. Starr's comments at Ellen White's Elmshaven funeral service. It is my privilege to speak of some of the phases of the life of Sister White. I have known her nearly 40 years, and Mrs. Starr has known her over 50 years. We have learned from her own lips the story of her early conversion at the age of 13 years, from doubt and darkness into light and special love for the person of Jesus Christ. I think I have never heard any other person speak of love for Jesus, personal love, as I have heard her speak. Many times, in large congregations, I have heard her break forth in the expression, "Jesus, I love you, I love you, I love you." Some here know that. They have heard it, and it has thrilled the audience. We have felt the influence of that love for Jesus. I believe it is a splendid thing for us to emulate, not only to have faith in a general way, but faith in Jesus and in His love. Her entire life was devoted to winning others to love Him and serve Him with their hearts. In her writings are to be found what I consider the clearest, most forceful, simple, earnest presentation of the gospel to be found in any writings outside of the scriptures themselves. The language in her writings is of the most attractive, simple, and forceful style. Now, I will leave you to judge that for yourselves, that it is attractive, elevating, forceful, and there is nothing to be found like it in the world. I have never seen anyone whose writings at all imitated her writings. In the little book, Steps to Christ, I had the privilege of reading that book in the manuscript, and she asked several of us to advise what should be done with it. "Why," we said, "put it into every language as soon as possible, for it is the simplest, clearest guide in the saving faith of Jesus we have ever read." That book has been translated into many languages. I saw a table with a complete set of her published books on it. I think it is under the trees on the other side of the house. I think it should be nearer. It makes a number of volumes that is quite surprising. As I looked at her the other day, as I clasped her hand and bade her goodbye, I thought, that hand has written more gospel exhortation and precious things than perhaps any other human hand. I have studied the writings of a good many, but I know of no one who is as diligent as she was, getting up at 2, 3, or 4 o'clock in the morning and working until after sundown. She retired very early, that was her habit, and then early in the morning she would arise and begin her writing. You would find her, like all the prophets, rising early and doing her work. I have seen her, I think, under nearly all the circumstances under which you meet a friend. We had the privilege of traveling with her in Michigan, and then of accompanying her to Australia, living in her home, seeing her under all the circumstances of home life, and, in addition, with the burdens of the world's work that she loved upon her. And I want to testify today that Mrs. Starr and I consider her one of the most constant, faithful Christians that we have met in our lives. I do not say that in order to praise her here today, but I believe it from the heart. I have reason to know it. I know it personally. She has been a great help to me personally. She has not written me flattering letters when I have been in the mission fields, in Queensland and other places, but she has written me very earnest words of counsel that have been very profitable to me in my life and ministry. I wish to note her character as a friend, and I am sure that all who know her here will verify what I say. Her remembrance of names of individuals was very remarkable. She never seemed to forget a person whom she met in any part of the world. She carried them on her heart and in her prayers. Her faithfulness in friendship was very marked, extending through trial and temptation. As the little boy at school said when asked the meaning of friendship, "A true friend is one who knows all about you and loves you just the same." So we can say of her that though she knew the failings of her friends very well, she loved them just the same, and prayed for them, and labored for them just the same.
Another word about her character. I regarded her as one of the sturdiest characters I ever met. I can compare her life only to the sturdy oak that meets the wind and bears its severest pressure, or the mountain that laughs at the storm. She met trial and opposition from those who ought to have been friendly, and she met it in the kindest, sweetest spirit, but with the firmest determination to conquer, always conquer. I never knew her to be conquered. Her faith in God was invincible in this country or any other country. Under circumstances that would have swamped the faith of many, she triumphed under trial. Just a word further about her sickness. It has been her lot, as Brother Loughborough remarked, to suffer more than the ordinary Christian. God permitted it, and she, I think I will let her speak for herself as to how she regarded it. I have a statement here from her own writings that I will read. I do not now expect to be lifted above all infirmities and tribulations, and to have an unruffled sea on the journey heavenward. I expect trials, losses, disappointments, and bereavements. And she had them. 2 children and her husband buried, where she will soon be buried by their side, in Michigan. She had her trials in that way, and in other ways. But I have the Savior's promise, "My grace is sufficient for thee." My sickness has taught me my own weakness, and my Savior's patience and love, and his power to save. When passing sleepless nights, I have found hope and comfort in considering the forbearance and tenderness of Jesus toward his weak, erring disciples, and remembering that he is still the same, unchangeable in mercy, compassion, and love. He sees our weakness. He knows how we lack faith and courage. Yet he does not cast us off. He is pitiful and of tender compassion toward us. About 6 weeks ago, we called on her, and she said, "When were you in last to see me?" "Just last Sabbath afternoon," I replied. "Oh, yes," she said, "I forgot." And then she turned to us and said, "We all have our weaknesses and our forgetfulnesses, but if we correct them, they add strength to our characters and do not belittle us." Now that, you see, is similar to her statement that Christ reveals his tender compassion through suffering. Speaking of her death, she said, "I may fall at my post before the Lord shall come, but when all that are in their graves shall come forth, I shall, if faithful to," and she was faithful, "see Jesus and be made like him." Oh, what joy unspeakable to see him whom we love, to see him in his glory, who so loved us that he gave himself for us. To behold those hands once pierced for our redemption, stretched out to us in blessing and welcome. Those are triumphant words, aren't they? Now, while here, she sang considerably. I want to read you one verse of one song that she very much delighted in. We heard her singing it the other morning, as we were at the bottom of the stairs. We said, "Who is that singing?" And they said, "That is Sister White." Here is what she sang. "We have heard from the bright, the holy land. We have heard, and our hearts are glad. For we were a lonely pilgrim band, and weary, and worn, and sad. They tell us the pilgrims have a dwelling there, no longer are homeless ones. And we know that the goodly land is fair, where life's pure river runs." Then she would omit 2 verses, and she would use the last part of the last verse as sort of a chorus, and would repeat it over and over again. This was her chorus. "We'll be there, we'll be there. In a little while, we'll join the pure and the blessed. We'll have the palm, the robe, the crown, and forever be at rest." She would repeat that again and again. Some have asked a question about her position among us. She was never elected to any office. She never desired any office. When a person would speak of any particular work, she would say, "My work to which God has called me is to be his messenger." And that was her highest desire, to be the messenger of Jesus Christ. In bidding her goodbye 2 weeks ago today, she said to us, as Brother White spoke to her, she seemed to be very bright that morning. He said, "Mother, Brother and Sister Star have come to bid you goodbye." She said she was very glad to see us again. I said, "We are glad to find you so bright this morning." This was her reply. "I am glad you find me thus, and I wish to tell you that it is bright inside." And then she added, "I have not had many mournful days, have I?" "No, Sister White," I said, "not in all your life, because you have risen above them." "Yes," said she, "my Heavenly Father has planned it all for me, and he knows when it will end, and I am determined not to murmur." I felt that that was a great triumph, and she did triumph. May the Lord help us to follow in her steps. Then I said to her, "I can only tell you, Sister White, what you wrote us in one of your last letters. You said, 'The shadows are lengthening,' and I thought of it just now." She said, "Brother Star, the shadows are lengthening, and we are nearing home. We will soon be home, and then we will talk it all over together in the kingdom of God."